Welcome back to the Divine Office Online, your Praying with Scripture Catholic podcast, which also happens to be a liturgy. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. We begin that invitatory. Help us achieve clarity, peace, focus on God, focus on his word, also known as recollection. In the Catholic saints, sometimes they call it recollection, like Faustina calls it recollection. So today we have the yearly memorial of Saint Benedict's sister, Saint Scholastica. So we have a special antiphon. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land, too, for it was formed by his hands. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Holy Virgins praise their Lord and King. Come, let us join in their worship. And we have a special song for Saint Scholastica. Wise Virgin, you have trimmed your lamp and entered heaven's wedding feast, where hosts of angels praise on high the everlasting glorious King. A welcome guest to saints above, you feast and join your heavenly spouse. United in his pure embrace, your chastity finds rich reward. Show us the rule of righteous life. Protect and spur us by your prayer, that we may have the strength to foil the cunning ruses of our foe. Exemplar of the Virgin's life, O Mary, ask your Son, we pray, that he may send his glorious aid to help us through our exile here. All glory be to God on high, through endless ages as they run, for this great Virgin's victory, in which the heavenly courts rejoice. Amen. And just like Saint Scholastica and her special ascetic sisters always would have prayed, we lift up a solemn prayer at the beginning of the day. Psalm 5, parts of it, a morning prayer asking for help. Antiphon 1. I lift up my heart to you, O Lord, and you will hear my morning prayer. To my words give ear, O Lord, give heed to my groaning. Attend to the sound of my cries, my King and my God. It is you whom I invoke, O Lord. In the morning you hear me. In the morning I offer you my prayer, watching and waiting. You are no God who loves evil. No sinner is your guest. The boastful shall not stand their ground before your face. You hate all who do evil. You destroy all who lie. The deceitful and bloodthirsty man the Lord detests. But I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. I bow down before your holy temple, filled with awe. Lead me, Lord, in your justice, because of those who lie in wait. Make clear your way before me. No truth can be found in their mouths. Their heart is all mischief. their throat a wide open grave. All honey their speech. All those you protect shall be glad and ring out their joy. You shelter them, you shelter us. In you they rejoice, those who love your name. It is you who bless the just man, Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. You surround us with favor as with a shield. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I lift up my heart to you, O Lord, and you will hear my morning prayer. Again, we have the optional psalm prayers to give us an example of how we ourselves might draw fresh words and fresh inspiration from the ancient prayers of the Psalms, if not meditatively considering and contemplatively saying the Psalms is itself a prayer. Antiphon 2 for morning prayer. We praise your glorious name, O Lord our God. 1 Chronicles 29. Parts of it is our short prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed may you be, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, from eternity to eternity. Yours, O Lord, are grandeur and power, majesty, splendor, and glory. For all in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the sovereignty. You are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor are from you, and you have dominion over all. In your hand are power and might. It is yours to give grandeur and strength to all. Therefore, our God, we give you thanks, and we praise the majesty of your name. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We praise your glorious name, O Lord our God. Antiphon 3, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, in honor of Mary's gifts. We pray that her powerful intercession in the heavenly court will obtain for us the grace of freedom from all sin and the consequences of it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us, Mother of God. Amen. We praise your glorious name, O Lord our God. Adore the Lord in his holy court. Psalm 29, a tribute of praise to the word of God. The Father's voice proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son." Matthew 3:17. O give the Lord, you sons of God, give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Adore the Lord in his holy court. The Lord's voice resounding on the waters, the Lord on the immensity of waters, the voice of the Lord full of power, the voice of the Lord full of splendor, the Lord's voice shattering the cedars, the Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf and Siron like a young wild ox. The Lord's voice flashes flames of fire. The Lord's voice shaking the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice rending the oak tree and stripping the forest bare. The God of glory thunders. In his temple they all cry glory. The Lord sat enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You live forever, King and Lord. You are the true Word coming forth from the eternal being of the Father. All things on earth will sing your praises, just as they honor the Father. Strengthen your people against evil now, so that we too can rejoice in your wisdom and have your word abiding in us. Then there will truly be peace. Save our church, an ancient institution, and yet one plagued by doubt, by hypocrisy, and by fear. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Adore the Lord in his holy court. For our reading, we continue reading through St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which the Office of Readings provides us with the entirety of. So now we're in the second reading, which is chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 10, the calling and apostleship of Paul. You have heard, I know, the story of my former way of life in Judaism. You know that I went to extremes in persecuting the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I made progress in Jewish observance far beyond most of my contemporaries, in my excess of zeal to live out all the traditions of my ancestors. But the time came when he who had set me apart before I was born and called me by his favor chose to reveal his Son to me, that I might spread among the Gentiles the good tidings concerning him. Immediately, without seeking human advisors or even going to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me, I went off to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. 3 years after that, I went up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, with whom I stayed 15 days. I did not meet any other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. I declare before God that what I have just written is true. Thereafter, I entered the regions of Syria and Cilicia. The communities of Christ in Judea had no idea what I looked like. They only heard that he who was formerly persecuting us is now preaching the faith he tried to destroy. And they gave glory to God on my account. Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem again with Barnabas, this time taking Titus with me. I went prompted by a revelation, and I laid out for their scrutiny the gospel as I present it to the Gentiles, and all this in private conference with the leaders, to make sure the course I was pursuing, or had pursued, was not useless. Not even Titus, who was with me, was ordered to undergo circumcision, despite his being a Greek. Certain false claimants to the title of brother were smuggled in. They wormed their way into the group to spy on the freedom we enjoy in Christ Jesus, and thereby to make slaves of us. But we did not submit to them for a moment. We restrained, we resisted, so that the truth of the gospel might survive intact for your benefit. Those who were regarded as important, however, and it makes no difference to me how prominent they were, God plays no favorites, made me add nothing. On the contrary, recognizing that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter as his apostle among the Jews had been at work in me for the Gentiles. And recognizing too the favor bestowed on me, those who were acknowledged pillars, James, Cephas, and John, gave Barnabas and me the hand clasp of fellowship, signifying that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. The only stipulation was that we should be mindful of the poor, the one thing that I was making every effort to do. Responsory prayer. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace in me has not been in vain. It was the power of God which made Peter an apostle for the Jewish people, and it was his power which made me an apostle for the Gentiles. His grace in me has not been in vain. And we should have a second reading for St. Scholastica, since this is her special feast day. So we have from the Book of Dialogues by St. Gregory the Great. Remember I told you, I don't know if I told you, but he was a great collector of stories of the saints and a chronicler and researcher of the saints. She who loved more could do more is the caption the church has chosen for this special reading from tradition about St. Scholastica. Scholastica, the sister of St. Benedict, had been consecrated to God from her earliest years. She was accustomed to visiting her brother once a year. He would come down to meet her at a place on the monastery property, not far outside the gate. One day she came as usual, and her saintly brother went with some of his disciples. They spent the whole day praising God and talking of sacred things. As night fell, they had supper together. Their spiritual conversation went on, and the hour grew late. The holy nun said to her brother, "Please do not leave me tonight. Let us go on until morning, talking about the delights of the spiritual life." "Sister," he replied, "what are you saying? I simply cannot stay outside my cell." When she heard her brother refuse her request, the holy woman joined her hands on the table, laid her head on them, and began to pray. As she raised her head from the table, there were such brilliant flashes of lightning, such great peals of thunder, and such a heavy downpour of rain, that neither Benedict nor his brethren could stir across the threshold of the place where they had been seated. Sadly, he began to complain. "May God forgive you, sister. What have you done?" "Well," she answered, "I asked you and you would not listen. So I asked my God and he did listen. Now go on, if you can. Leave me and return to your monastery." Reluctant as he was to stay of his own will, he remained against his will. So it came about that they stayed awake the whole night, engrossed in their conversation about the spiritual life. It is not surprising that she was more effective than he, since, as John says, God is love. It was absolutely right that she could do more, as she loved more. 3 days later, Benedict was in his cell. Looking up to the sky, he saw his sister's soul leave her body in the form of a dove and fly up to the secret places of heaven. Rejoicing in her great glory, he thanked Almighty God with hymns and words of praise. He then sent his brethren to bring her body to the monastery and lay it in the tomb he had prepared for himself. Their minds had always been united in God. Their bodies were to share a common grave. Responsory prayer. When the saintly nun begged the Lord that her brother might not leave her, she received more than her brother did from the Lord of her heart, because she loved him so much. How good, how delightful it is for brothers and sisters to live in unity. She received more than her brother did from the Lord of her heart, because she loved him so much. Now afterwards, stick around and we'll have a little talk about Saint Scholastica and some of the things that stood out to me. But for now, we continue with the office of readings. Now this wise virgin has gone to Christ. Among the choirs of virgins, she is radiant as the sun in the heaven. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Now this wise virgin has gone to Christ. Among the choirs of virgins, she is radiant as the sun in the heavens. Christ is the spouse and crowning glory of virgins. Let us praise him with joy in our voices and pray to him with sincerity in our hearts. Jesus, crown of virgins, hear us. Christ, the holy virgins loved you as their one true spouse. Grant that nothing may separate us from your love. You crowned Mary, your mother, queen of virgins. Through her intercession, let us continually serve you with pure hearts. Your handmaidens were always careful to love you with whole and undivided attention, that they might be holy in body and spirit. Through their intercession, grant that the lure of this passing world may not distract our attention from you. Lord Jesus, you are the spouse whose coming was anticipated by the wise virgins. Grant that we may wait for you in hope and expectation. Through the intercession of Saint Scholastica, who was one of the wise and prudent virgins, grant us wisdom and innocence of life. And we pray for all the women of the world, especially the Catholic young women, that they will have the courage to really step out and consider this vocation to be a consecrated spouse of Christ or a consecrated minister of some type. We pray that God will help us all to embrace our vocation. Christianity has what it takes. We just have to offer it our all and be countercultural. And we'll see that miracle take place. God will act. He will answer our prayers and He will act on our words. And we will become His prophets. And all we have to do is live Christianity fully and authentically. Now, let's pray for your personal intentions, whatever they may be. We pray for you to be able to find support, money, friendship, and the peace that can be found. Find what you need within the church. We pray that you find what you need within the church. Jesus, crown of virgins, hear us, gathering all of our prayers into one. We pray the prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. As we celebrate anew the memorial of the Virgin Saint Scholastica, we pray, O Lord, that following her example, we may serve you with pure love and happily receive what comes from loving you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us. May the Almighty God bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. As a young, single, female catechist, I'm often, and especially now that we're promoting vocations and more aware of our need for vocations, often asked, why aren't you in discernment? Why aren't you a religious sister? Why aren't you this? And you know, honestly, I think it's very, very personal and deeply hard to answer questions. So, you know, for one reason, it's just social and cultural. No one ever asked me when I used to run around and I did all types of things at church. And when I was asked to become a sacristan, I did it because I loved the community and I wanted to serve them. I wanted to give something back to them, even though I didn't really understand what that ministry was about. I did it. When they started to give me honors and to be able to do things in the liturgical ministries, I did it. But nobody ever asked me to become a religious sister. And when I did actually have a priest, I take that back, that did ask me that, but it was not in my parish. It was when I was in vacation in another state. My father, there's cultural and social reasons why you may not have been called to do that, but you may have had a persistent inclination to serve God. And God may call you in a different way. You know, I could start my own religious community or a society of people with similar, association of people with similar views. So there's different options for me. Ultimately, it's about whether or not I'm choosing a celibate or a married lifestyle or not. But what stood out to me in our discussion with Saint Scholastica, you know, the power that she has, the sacred power that she has through her prayer, you could even call it sacred power like we do for the priests. Because, you know, in the early church communities, we created the idea of having a nun. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing because women were not really able to act as spiritual and religious leaders in a different way. So we came up with the idea of a nun because our Lord Jesus Christ didn't call women to be apostles. He didn't call them to preach for him. He didn't call them to administer the sacraments, even though he had many women, who apostolic women, surrounding him and supporting him. But Jesus, for very many reasons, did not choose to call women to be his apostles. So having the primary kind of central religious leadership role taken up by men created this need for a parallel function, and that parallel function was someone who persevered in virginity, someone who was also dedicated to an apostolic life. And please, we don't have time to get into all the details about Christian tradition, what it's done wrong with women, what it's done right, the things that should appall. We do not have time to get into that. But the point is, when it looks to this vocation, you know, some women have really inspired me. Religious women like Faustina actually made me consider the religious life and almost in a sense want it. So another reason was my interior. Another answer to that question is my own interior ability, right? I was afraid to leave home. I was not prepared to live on my own. And it didn't ever really, you know, it didn't really ever occur to me that there were different stages of discernment and that you could enter gradually. So, you know, my own interior lack of knowledge and lack of attraction to the religious life is another reason why I'm not a religious sister. But, and again, all those things could be remedied if you did things a bit differently. Now, it depends, what do you want from religious sisters? Because again, no one knows, and the vocation is in crisis, because no one knows what a religious sister is supposed to be, or how it fits into the jigsaw puzzle of the church. Now, I would suggest we would go back to the old idea, the idea that just as we have apostles, and we have priests, and we have deacons, we have to have a parallel type of priestly function for women, and that might be fulfilled by the religious life, you know? It might. So there's ways to get that going back. There's ways to restore the sacredness of the religious life and restore the sense, even explore more, for example, the prayers that they say, the intercession. Our Lord Jesus Christ, one of his functions as eternal high priest is that he calls out to us for mercy. So it's not just as if religious sisters do something that everyone does. But they do it more powerfully. That's a very condescending, and it's not going to way of putting it, and it's not going to help religious vocations if you say, okay, well, it's an expansion on the baptismal priesthood, or it's a more intimate way of living the baptismal priesthood. I mean, no one is going to want, I mean, I had never wanted a more intimate experience of the baptismal priesthood. First off, most Catholics don't even know what the baptismal priesthood is or why they should care about it. It just sounds like you're saying, well, there's a more intimate way that you can live out what you've already received in baptism. That doesn't, you know, that's not a religious leadership position. It's not going to appeal to women who have ambitions and who desire to do something important with their life and to be recognized for their service to the church. So again, we have to recover the idea that there is a place and a space for women who want to be religious leaders in the church. And it has to be something that's worked in to the theology of the church. Again, just talking about religious vows and saying that religious vows are something that is an extension of baptism isn't going to cut it. You need a real theology that explores the history and the roots and maybe brings in some new sources from scripture and tradition to supplement the traditional catechesis about religious vows and what they mean. We're not saying that we're going to get rid of our catechesis on religious vows. I already have given a catechesis on religious vows, but you need something more than just religious vows in order to explain this, at least as it's being done. So anyway, duty calls. I have to go. I hope you have a great rest of your day.